us pray. Let us pray. Father, we truly give all our thanks from the bottom of our heart to give us opportunity to know you and to serve you and above all to worship you. May your grace and your love be deeply delved into our heart and our mind to bear fruit for your glory. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your grace. You came from heaven to be a man so that we would be able to understand who God is like and, you know, what the love and the grace of God, you know, feel like. And through you and your words, we can encounter unknowable God into our knowledge of God so that we can comprehend. May your grace continue to flow you know, through us to this world, to your glory. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue on our Lent series. Lent is the period, a 40-day period before Easter. And we have been looking at the topic of God's grace. And we are going to delve into another aspect of God's grace called God's freedom of grace. What this means is God is free to do what he pleased to do. You know, God appeared to Moses and told him, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." God freely has chosen Moses to reveal his glory and his power. And God exercised his absolute and free will in choosing Moses and raising him up to be the leader of Israel, to deliver the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. Did Moses have any inherent merit to be chosen by God? No. And did Moses deserve to be God's choice? Absolutely no. When God chose Moses, there was nothing that depended on Moses. The choice of Moses by God was 100% dependent upon God's own free will. God was gracious to Moses because he chose to be that way. So today I would like us to delve into the meaning of God's freedom of dispensing grace. Would you please turn with me to Jonah chapter 1, 5 through 17. Jonah 1, verses 5 through 17. From this passage, we'll delve into the meaning of God's freedom of grace. Here's the word of God. The word of the, then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." And each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the man became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he has told them. And verse 11, so they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" The sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." However, the man rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. And then they called on the Lord and said, "We honestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For Thou, O Lord, hast done as Thou hast pleased." So they pick up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. And the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. You know, quite a lengthy text today. Some background of this episode is that Jonah did not really want to go to Nineveh, where God asked him to go, to give warning to them for pending judgment of God. The reason why Jonah didn't go there was, first of all, Nineveh was Syria, basically. They are the enemy of Israel. And they were one of the most cruel and brutal people who inflicted the pain to the Israelites historically. So he didn't want to go there, and no heart for love for those people. And as such, and he might have also thought that they were unworthy of God's message. He might have thought they were outside of God's grace. And this made Jonah run away from God in disobedience and got on board a ship that was heading to Tarshish, which is today Spain. So he was fleeing from going up north, but instead he was going to the west over the sea. So Jonah was completely disobedient to God's command. So that's the background, and let us focus on what God has done in this episode. There are two main things as to what God has done. The first of all, against the disobedient Jonah, God did not give up his hope for this man. It's written on your sheet, so you don't have to write it down. Against this disobedient Jonah, God did not give up his hope for this man. And in doing so, God caused a storm and mainly to bring Jonah a new understanding of God's plan for him. And God was patient and forgiving. Does Jonah deserve any of this another chance? God certainly provided another chance to Jonah so that he would eventually obey the Lord. At times we feel that God's way is beyond our understanding. God's way depends on God's grace that can't be anticipated or explained at times. We are surprised by the way God does his things. To most undeserved people, God still extends his grace. And who are the most undeserved people? Who are the most undeserved people? Jonah, maybe. But certainly, I am. I don't know about you, but certainly I know that I am one of the most undeserved people. And Jonah's mistake was he thought his people, Hebrew, are the only people that deserve God's grace. But he did not anticipate God would extend his mercy to pagan idol worshippers like the sailors or the people in Nineveh. But even to this Jonah, who had a bad attitude, God still wanted to work with him. God's grace cannot be measured with our human thought. Finite cannot comprehend the infinite. God does things as he pleases. And second thing about this episode is, against these nameless pagan sailors, God showed his grace to them. Against these nameless pagan sailors, God showed his grace on them. It's very interesting to observe that these were just people, even nameless. We don't know which people these people belong to. Jonah, as the prophet who wrote this book, he didn't even mention about that. But nonetheless, God's idea was different from Jonah's. Why did they even come to the picture? You know, were they not idol worshippers? We know that they were pagan idol worshippers. From Hebrews' mind, they were no more than the fire woods in the hell. Why would God care for them? But now let us look at the story, how the story portrays the sailors' behavior and the belief. We can see an amazing progress in their behavior and belief in a life crisis they faced. Let's go back to verse 5. If you look at verse 5, the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo. So definitely they were not Yahweh worshipper. They had their own God, pagan God. And initially they had no knowledge of God of Israel. But when you read verse 6, so the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." They prayed to their own God, but it didn't work. So they found Jonah was Israelite and asked him to pray to the God of Israel. And look at verse 14. And they called on the Lord. So they recognized that the storm was an act of Jonah's God. And if you look at verse 10, the men became extremely frightened and they said to him, "How could you do this? For the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." So they were so surprised that Jonah would purposely reject God's instruction. And verse 14, and they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for thou, O Lord, hast done as thou hast pleased." So they offered their honest prayer to the God of Jonah. But this episode tells us that Jonah did not even pray to God in this crisis. But these pagan, nameless sailors, once they knew that a God of Jonah might have caused this thing, they were praying to the God of Jonah. And they also concerned about God's justice when they threw Jonah aboard. They said they're not responsible for this storm, and they asked for God's justice to be realized for this situation so that they would get out of this crisis. And verse 16 is amazing. And then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, made vows. You know, after things were done, after the storm was calmed, in fear of God, of Yahweh, they sacrificed to him. These pagans were more in tune with their attitude and behavior God desired than Jonah. So they barely knew Jonah's God, but responded to him in a genuine fear. By contrast, Jonah says he fears God in verse 9, but he acts in a way that is inconsistent with his claim. So that is the one of the great irony this episode let us think. The sailors confessed in verse 15, "You, O Lord, have done as you pleased." If you go to verse 15, that's amazing confession. "You, O Lord, have done as you pleased." They recognize that God sent the storms to fulfill his will upon Jonah and them. You know, God showed his power over the nature, and the sailors, not only recognizing that, but also responded in their heart with fear and commitment. God did not simply use them to listen to Jonah. God extended his grace to these sailors so that they would be able to enjoy the lordship of Yahweh and protection for the rest of their lives. You know, there are many people in our lives that we might thought they have nothing to do with us or Jesus, like Jonah might have thought of these sailors on the boat were such kinds. But the story tells us that no one in this world is outside of God's grace. God wants everyone to come to knowledge of him and not perish. And God still wants to extend his grace even to those we might think worthless or hopeless based on the history or whatever we observe today. We give up hope for certain people, but this story tells us that God wouldn't. And I believe the concept of sovereign grace of God is best illustrated in the life of Moses, as we talked about in the beginning. Exodus 33:19, God said to Moses, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." What does this mean? This means there is nothing outside of God that constrains his glorious freedom of his grace. And his choices originate in himself. And he chooses freely apart from any condition in us. His favor does not depend on our conditions, and he freely dispenses his grace to those he chooses to be gracious. And we can stand in awe of God's sovereign freedom and worship with gratitude because of that. And this doctrine of unconditional election is rooted in the nature of God. His very name and his innermost glory is this: "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious." And because of that, you and I are the beneficiaries of this nature of God. God has freedom in choosing and in dispensing his grace, not conditioned on us. If it were conditioned on us, we may not be saved. But it's his kind, you know, his goodwill of his nature that allows us to experience his grace. So God exerts his perfect freedom in choosing whom he chooses, and this perfect freedom is God's sovereign freedom, and that is not limited by anyone or anything else. You know, what if God were not free in dispensing his grace he gives? This implies that he is constrained and limited by some conditions he is not in control of, then he would not be God. But because God has no constraints in dispensing his free will, That's why he is God, of perfection and absolute the being, because there is no constraints in his grace. And Ephesians 1, 4 to 5, if you will, would you please turn to Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 5. This is something that you need to memorize. And Ephesians 1, four to five. Just as he chose us in him refers to in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. And verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In the beloved refers to in Jesus. So God's choice of us was in Christ and through Christ, and it was done before the foundation of the world. So definitely it doesn't condition on us. God's choice is also based on his love through Christ Jesus according to his kind intention of his will. So there is nothing we can contribute in God's perfect will in choosing us. You know, God's sovereign grace does not depend on any of our own condition. It gives hope for all of us because of that. And God chose Jonah, and God chose sailors, and God chose citizens of Nineveh, if you read the rest of Jonah. Out of his sovereign grace, that does not depend on their conditions whatsoever, whether they have good nature or bad nature. And in Jonah's day, God chose to send his message to the pagans out of his free will and brought Jonah into the picture. And see the impact. All the sailors were saved. They didn't know anything about God of Jonah, Yahweh, but they were saved. And 120,000 citizens in Nineveh, Assyrians, were saved as well. When Jonah got to the land and preached God's judgment is coming, they actually accepted and they repented. They were saved. God still used disobedient Jonah. His will prevails above Jonah's sin of disobedience and bad attitude. Sin is great, but grace is greater. God has his freedom of his will, and we have to learn to honor that. You know, when we see the Lord exercise his freedom in our lives, let us confess, like sailors, you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. I think that is the most extreme understanding, the most profound understanding of what God is all about. They understood, the sailors. O Lord, you have done as you pleased. You have done as you pleased. They understood this doctrine of unconditional election. They understood God of sovereign freedom. God exercised his freedom, extending his grace. So from this story, I can think of four proper responses to God of Jonah, who exercised his divine freedom of grace upon sinners. The first is homage. Homage. You know, when we think about God's unconditional election of his grace, we would worship him. That's the first response, in truth and in spirit. We would lift him up, the worldliness of God, when we reflect God's unconditional love. You know, when we think about God's unconditional election of his grace, we stand in awe of God's goodness and graciousness and glory. Homage. worship. Second response is humility. You know, when we think about God's unconditional election of His grace, and by which we are saved through faith, we will become humble before God and before people. You know, who are we that God is mindful of us? You know, we are absolutely dependent upon God's grace. And even our faith is the gift of God that was given in His grace. And there will be no boasting about who we are, because even our faith was freely given by God in Christ as the gift. And the third response is hope. If God had planned for idol worshippers like sailors and the people in Nineveh, and even disobedient Jonah, we will still have hope for each one of us. If anyone in this room this morning feels you are hopeless or worthless, please know that God loves to magnify this freedom of His grace by saving the worst sinners. If the worst sinners can be saved because of God's unconditional election of them, we have hope. We have hope. So repent your sins and accept God's invitation of His sovereign grace of salvation. And Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us argue this out, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. And I can make you as clean as a fleshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool." That's the invitation of God. Sin is great, but grace is greater. We have to always dwell in that. And the last proper response to God's grace is mission. If the worst sinner can have hope in God's unconditional election of saving grace, then there is the cause also for missions, our missions. Mission does not finally depend on the human effort or will of man, but on God. Missionaries never need to despair as though any people or tribe were hard to, too hard or evil for God to revive. He will be gracious to whom He will be gracious. God knows who will respond to the message of the gospel. And even if there is only one man whom God will be gracious to whom He will be gracious, we can still go to the end of the world. And those who will respond in the sovereign good will of God. So if you look at the mission history, it is always done by minorities. Few minorities who went, and then some people responded it, and God used those minorities to continue on this torch of mission. Mission is not to convert everyone on earth. That's never been intended, by the way. But those who whom God designated will be responsive, will be gracious. God will be gracious to those people, and they will respond. You know, when God's grace is deeply appreciated in our heart, this grace should not be contained in our own heart, but it should flow from our heart to others. As much as it is important for us to accept God's grace, which was last week's sermon, we need to accept God's grace, it is also important for us to find ways to be the channels of God's amazing grace to other people. What we were freely given, let us freely give it away for the sake of others. You know, John 1:16 read, "For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." The term grace upon grace means grace is to be multiplied, grace upon grace. Father's grace appeared in the Son, who freely gave His own grace to us, and in that sense, grace upon grace. In the same way, we can be gracious to others so that we can continue on grace upon grace upon grace. Grace of God should and must multiply through us for others. That's why grace was given, first of all. First of all, for us to enjoy the peace of God, and then we share this grace, amazing gift that we have, we experience to others. You know why mission is hard? Perhaps because we haven't appreciated this grace that is available in us. We may think and know what grace is all about, but when there's no evidence in our life that we want to share this grace to others, that means we may not, you know, come to the stage of understanding this grace. So I think that's why last week we said, accept God's grace and enjoy. And if we fully enjoy God's grace, then natural outcome would be sharing, very naturally sharing, because good things supposed to flow. Good news supposed to flow from one to another. That's why it's good news. It's too good to be contained within our own soul and heart. You know that? If you know good news, you spread. Good news spreads so quickly. I think that's why you have to accept God's grace, appreciating His favor, unmerited favor upon us, and then we share. So as an application, you know, identify a person or a group of people that you think does not deserve grace of God. Do you have any person that you know of, or any group of people you know of? Sometimes you give your hope, or you know, those people are impossible. You know, I don't think they are within God's grace. There might be people in your life. I do have certain people, certain group of people. I sometimes think that, oh no, that's impossible. But in your prayer during this week, identify those people that you gave up your hope on them, and ask God to set you free from that mindset, knowing God is still gracious to whom God is gracious. Those people may be those to whom God is gracious. So ask God to set you free from this mindset, and be gracious to them this week. Once you know and identify those people in your life, you think not deserving God's grace, ask God to set you free from that mindset, and be gracious to them in any means that you can think of. You approach them and pray for them and share the gospel and share your love by your action this week. And so release God's grace to the people around you. Accept God's grace and release God's grace. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you said to Timothy from Apostle Paul that there is no one in this world that you would want to perish. You want everyone to come to the knowledge of you and your Son Jesus Christ. And give us that attitude and in our heart deeply, so that the grace that we are experiencing would continue to flow to others, so that grace upon grace upon grace and upon grace would take place. Father, we thank you that you started this grace to be known through your Son Jesus, grace upon grace. And let us be the channels of this grace, channels of these blessings to others. in this season of Lent. Father, give us the heart of reconciliation and forgiveness, and give us heart to accept ourselves and also accept others in love. And as we preach and share the good news of Jesus, may the grace and the truth of Jesus be manifest to those souls. Father, we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Steep that grace appeared, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secure. He will my shield and as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Before we close, I'd like to have Sang-seok to come forward, and Daun as well. Sang-seok's last Sunday, as he God provided a job in Virginia, so he's heading out to, I think next week, before next Sunday. So this is last Sunday. Come over here. So we pray for him. And Daun is going to stay for a while. Let's pray, bless Sang-seok and his new job. Don, you come forward. But you should come, continue to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you provided a new job for Sang-seok and Don. We thank you that you are the provider and you are the sustainer. And you are the one who maintains the good thing upon all of us, including Sang-seok's family. You started your grace upon this family, and you are the one who have been carrying your grace upon this family and will continue to do so in the future. And at the end of the earthly journey, we all know that there's a good place to go into the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will lavish his wedding supper all together with us, and Sang-seok will be there and his family will be there because you have started your grace upon this family. We bless Sang-seok in the new place. Let him be the channels of God's grace to the people who may not know you. Let him be the beacons of the truth and the light of Jesus Christ. And let him prevail. Let him be really successful because of your power of grace continue to flow, flowing through his life. And give him your knowledge and your wisdom and also common grace of God in the workplace that he will do, so that he will prevail. He will be outstanding. And all the logistics that are ahead of this family be taken care of by your hands of mercy. Father, it is sad for us to leave our community. But we also know that gospel need to be spread in the capital city. So we send this family to be your missionary in the East Coast. So Father, we have not only our local community, but also extended family in other places like Virginia. And Sang-seok will represent the Christ that we cherish together. And bless Hyun and Hyewon. Let those two young lad and girl grow to be the faithful servant like Joseph and like Daniel. And give all the provision and all the blessings upon this family. We thank you for your grace and your kingdom that we are hoping for. We thank you for your goodness. To all of us, may the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the love of our God who is in heaven, and the intimate and powerful fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.